This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Todd Nettleton on the line with Voice of the Martyrs USA. And we're going to be talking about a couple things today. There was a recent suicide bomber attack in northern Nigeria, and it's actually took place at a refugee camp, which is disturbing in so many ways. But then we're also going to talk about an upcoming event that kind of ties into it, and we'll explain that in a moment. But first, Todd, I'd like to talk about this attack, because female bombers, female suicide bombers, were sent into the attack disguised as refugees. To me, that shows a level of growing sophistication on Boko Haram's part.
Well, as you say, there were three females that arrived at this camp for internally displaced people. These are people who have had to flee their homes because of Boko Haram activities. These three ladies came to the camp, obviously wired with explosives. I think there are several aspects. It does show a degree of planning. There is also some good news, though. One of the ladies got to the camp and realized her own family, her parents and some of her siblings, were in that camp, and at that point decided, you know what, I'm not going to blow myself up. I'm not going to try to kill a bunch of people here, turned herself into the authorities. So I think it's interesting that even when someone is wearing an explosive vest, even when they go to the point where they think they're going to kill themselves, there is still hope that they can be reached with reason or with a heart or something. So I think that's maybe a little sliver of good news in this story, even though it's a story of 58 people, at least 58 people were killed in the attack, another 78 injured, horrific violence and bloodshed. So maybe that's just, though, a little sliver of hope out of this story.
And why are females used for the suicide bombers? Is that a reflection of Islam, or is that something specific to West African culture?
You know, that is an interesting question. I think a female is less likely, at least up till now, is less likely to be suspected. You know, we think of suicide bombers as being men. We know they are recruiting suicide bombers. This is not the first time Boko Haram has used suicide bombers. There have been at least some evidence or reports that some of the victims they've kidnapped, they have turned into suicide bombers. I think there is a cultural aspect of it. Just from the standpoint of an Islamic culture, it would be inappropriate for a man to search a woman or to pat down a woman. So I think there is an essence of that, of just avoiding the security. By being women, they're less likely to be patted down. They're less likely to be searched thoroughly as they come into the camps. Now, you know, as we see these events happen and more of these bombings, that's probably going to change. They're probably going to be subject to a lot stricter security screening than they have been in the past, because they're now obviously using that against the people there and causing more bloodshed.
And for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with Boko Haram, can you explain briefly why this group is such a threat to Christians in Nigeria?
Well, it's a threat to Christians, it's a threat to the government of Nigeria, and it's a threat to Muslims. I mean, many thousands of these displaced people are Muslims, who they are not as radical as Boko Haram, or they don't follow Islam the same way Boko Haram says you should. So they're in danger as well. But Boko Haram wants a separate country. Basically, they want to slice off a portion of Nigeria and form an Islamic Republic. They want it to run according to Sharia law, according to their version of Sharia law. Last year, the leader of the group pledged allegiance to ISIS, so they are now representing themselves as ISIS representatives in Western Africa. That has increased, I think, the level of violence that they've pursued, and it makes everyone nervous about, you know, what's in the future. If they really do adopt ISIS methodology, if they get training from ISIS radicals, what's that going to mean in Nigeria? And those are questions we don't know the answer to yet.
Islamic extremism and its effect on the Christian population is actually the subject of an upcoming prayer night. And Boko Haram, their victims will be part of the conversation, part of the people we pray for. it's associated with the IMN book that's being produced by Voice of the Martyrs, as well as, you know, some of the IMN movement. But if you were speaking to a new Christian or someone who wasn't familiar with Christianity and some of these core responses, how would you explain to them, like, why we pray when this happens? Why is prayer our first response?
There are several reasons for that, and I think probably the foremost one is because that's what Scripture asks of us. You know, we're called on to remember the body of Christ around the world. When one part of the body suffers, we're all supposed to feel that pain. We're all supposed to be a part of that. And so there is an element of that's what Scripture says. But then the second reason is because that's the first request of the persecuted Christians that we meet around the world. When I go to a place like Northern Iraq, where I was in January, and I say, okay, you know, I'm going back to the United States, I'm going to do radio interviews, I'm going to talk in churches, I'm going to talk to a lot of Christians. What can we do for you? How can we help? The first thing they say is, you can pray for us. And the challenge to me, and one of the great challenges of the IMN book, is the testimonies of bold Christians who are experiencing joy in the midst of their suffering. So their prayer request is not, oh, you need to really pray that this bad stuff will stop happening to us. You need to pray that persecution will cease. What they're asking us to pray for is that God will give them perseverance in the midst of persecution to continue to serve Him well and serve Him boldly and share the gospel with the people around them. The other part of prayer, and I think it's maybe something we don't always remember, is we're praying for the persecutors. You know, that's the call of the Scripture as well. Pray for those who persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. We want to pray that members of Boko Haram will come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. And maybe that's through someone they're persecuting that gets a chance to be a witness or share the gospel or hand off a Bible. Maybe it's through a radio broadcast or some other means of evangelism. Maybe it's through a supernatural encounter with Jesus Christ in a dream or a vision or something else. But we always want to include that in our prayer time. We want to pray for the persecutors that somehow God will reach them.
One of the things that I love about this book, we were blessed to have a pre-release copy and we've been kind of previewing it. One of the things that I love is just little tidbits, prayer suggestions, so to say. In this case, for Boko Haram, people terrorized or persecuted by Islamic terrorists, how should we pray for these people, for these brothers and sisters in Christ and for those who don't know Him yet?
Well, one of the things that the book does is it identifies some of the qualities that we see in these Christians, and there's six of them. There's sacrifice, courage, joy, perseverance, forgiveness, and faithfulness. And I think that really serves as a prayer guide. You know, we want to pray for courage. We want to pray that these believers will be encouraged and that they won't be afraid, that God will relieve the fear from them or help them to fight through the fear and do what needs to be done. We want to pray that they'll have joy, that they'll experience God's presence and know His face so closely that it gives them joy even in the midst of suffering. We want to pray for perseverance, that God will help them to continue. We want to pray that they'll be able to forgive those who are persecuting them, because all of us can put ourselves in that position and understand what a huge challenge it would be to forgive the person who's beating you, to forgive the person who killed members of your family. That's an incredible supernatural thing that happens. That's not an earthly human response. And then faithfulness. We want to pray again that they will faithfully serve Christ in spite of the suffering, in spite of the persecution. So the topics of the book, the stories that are told, are, as you say, they're prompts to help us to pray, and they give us kind of a roadmap of, okay, how can I pray for these people? Well, here's some qualities that we've seen in persecuted Christians before. You can pray for those who are being persecuted today that they'll exhibit those same qualities.
It's a conversation that we're going to have, and it will continue. Unfortunately, we don't have time to cover everything today, but I'm excited to talk more about this book and about the event that's coming up here in March. And for now, that wraps up all my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you'd like to add?
I just want to encourage people, if you're in the Grand Rapids area, join us for that event on March the 4th. It's going to be a great evening, equipping you to pray, challenging you with the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters, and I think you'll walk out of the room with a new heart to lift up those who are suffering for Christ.
Amen. Again, I've been speaking with Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs USA about this attack in Nigeria and an upcoming way that you can get more involved in helping the persecuted church. For now, Todd, thanks for being with us today on Mission Network News.
You're welcome. Thanks for